Do you love comic books? Are you looking for a way to help out the Infamous Podcast? Then we have the thing for you. Go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology, click on the link, sign up for your free trial of Comixology Unlimited, and you'll help out the show. That's infamouspodcast.com/comixology. Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode number 130. Toys just want to have fun. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
Who was just yawning.
Yeah, that came out of
nowhere. Yawny.
Hey, don't get a piano in front of me. I'll be like, you know, get the long hair and the mustache going.
Ooh, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, remember that guy?
With the white suit and the big collars.
Yep.
Not Liberace. There was no bedazzling going on with Yanni.
He was literally like sweating all over the place and playing his like multiple pianos. And
so
I remember that guy.
I wonder how many podcasts talk about Yanni.
Yeah, you know. Hashtag.
Hashtag. Anyway, this week.
Hashtag John Tesh.
Hashtag John Tesh. Kenny G. Hashtag Kenny G.
These two mainstream.
John Tesh was pretty mainstream.
Dave Koz. Hashtag Dave Koz.
There you go.
Boom.
Boom. Mic drop. Don't drop your mic.
Marcellus.
All right. So this week we're finally going to talk about the toys that made us, which we both watched. I think you actually finished this one before I did.
Watched them all one day.
We did it in a span of two. And it was actually Angel who was like, hey, do you want to watch this? I'm like, yeah, I've been meaning to watch it. And so we watched it, and it was pretty good. It was created by Brian Volk Weiss, directed by Tom Stern, and narrated by Donald Ian Black, which I'm not familiar like with who he was. The whole time, though, I sat there listening, and I thought it should have been Patton Oswalt who did the narration.
Because that guy sounded like Patton Oswalt.
He did a little bit. But before we do this, you finally finished Thrawn.
Yeah.
Thoughts? Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I think it's a great opening salvo to a new...
Two weeks to read it.
It's a great opening salvo to the new Thrawn trilogy that
the they're history,
gonna do.
Yeah.
His origin and everything.
Right.
And you made an interesting point. Just a minor spoiler here. Eli Vanto is my favorite character in the... I mean, Thrawn is my favorite character.
Sure.
Vanto is my favorite character, a new character that they introduced. And you thought it'd been interesting if he would end up being Nightshade.
Night Swan.
Yeah. And I agree, but at the same time, I think I would have been disappointed.
Thrawn?
No, in Eli, because I liked him so much.
Yeah.
And I liked what I liked about him is we saw this take on the Imperial officers.
Yeah.
That we haven't gotten from anything else. You know, the Battlefront 2 game, you get some of that with the Inferno Squad.
Right.
But from what I understand, she changes sides within the first 15 minutes of gameplay.
Does she?
Yeah.
Then why does she have a first order uniform on in that older version?
I don't know. That's
unless
the thing.
She's a spy.
Maybe, but I
didn't think that was the way that was supposed to go. I thought that was supposed to be they were just Imperial agents that were trying to reform the Empire.
Yeah.
Well, after the fall of the Emperor.
Right. And no, she turns and becomes a rebel agent.
Okay.
So, but I do. So I listened to the audiobook.
Yeah.
And Mark Thompson reads it, and his Thrawn is just like Lars Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
From Rebels, you know, the very slow, drawn out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's so good.
Whereas I could just hear Lars Mikkelsen.
Well,
yeah.
Like in you know either way, the cool thing is that opening part where we first meet Thrawn.
Yeah.
And they think he's this savage.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, there's this savage. You know, we're the Imperial.
Right.
And, you know, he wreaks havoc on his Star Destroyer. He takes down a TIE with some traps and trees.
Yeah. It literally, like, what, he used skin or wires?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah. Just an interesting setup and then an interesting twist with the setup.
Yeah.
Toward the end of the story. Well, you know, this part of the story.
So I wonder if in subsequent books we're going to get more of the mentioned interaction with Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, I'm very curious at what that is. And his meeting Darth Vader at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, because, you know, he doesn't know that's Anakin.
Yes, he does.
You think he does?
Yeah. It's Thrawn.
I guess
he's already...
True.
He's already figured out everything that's going on in the Empire.
I do love that he tracked down the Death Star.
Yeah.
That was freaking awesome.
Tell me about the Death Star. Yeah, that's what I was like, because you're like the Emperor, like the way they describe the Emperor being taken aback a little bit. I'm like, yeah, the Emperor's usually not taken aback, but it's like, yeah, tell me about the Death Star.
The other thing that was really cool was the xenophobia from the other Imperial officers against him he rose through the ranks.
Well, and what's cool about that was always like a thing in Star Wars, like that the Empire like would use aliens as slaves and stuff like that, but no aliens were ever like allowed to be officers or anything.
Well, because the two aliens from the prequel that were his that were Palpatine's advisors were killed almost immediately once the Empire came to be. Right. So yeah, it was very
Mass
much
Amita and
it was very much a human organization.
Well, and it was when they introduced Thrawn originally, it was that whole explanation of he was, you know, a very loyal subject to the Empire and the Emperor, and that, and had just done one wrong thing and was like sent out to pass the Outer Rim to be
beat it.
Yeah, he was punished.
Go out to where the Force doesn't work the way it's supposed to work.
So I'm curious, like, if we're gonna see like the next book's gonna take place right before Rebels or during Rebels.
Well, I think it depends on what happens with Rebels.
Well, and
I
think by the end of Rebels, he'll still be alive, but I think he might be banished.
I think that might be the banishment
thing, and back to the Chiss and all that type of stuff.
Chiss Collective or whatever
Ascendancy.
They're called. Ascendancy.
The Ascendancy.
Yeah. That's so cool. That's a cool name for a band.
Yeah.
The Chiss Ascendancy.
Yeah.
Or just the Ascendancy, even. But yeah, Timothy Zahn, man, he created a pretty awesome character.
I mean, the character was cool already. And I mean, everybody who is a big Star Wars fan, as this is on their probably top 10 favorite characters since he was introduced in Heir to the Empire and the original Thrawn trilogy and that. But it's like reading this one, it's like, yeah, it's a different take on the character, but there's still a lot of,
it's very true to
a lot of what he was. Yeah. The manipulator, and the observer.
Yep.
It's just he doesn't have the, I can't remember the name of the group that was his, like, bodyguards.
Oh, yeah. Well, he has Eli. Who else does he need? He's a very capable warrior, too.
And Governor Price.
Yeah. Well, and
but that's the thing, is if you're a fan of Star Wars and, are enjoying Rebels, this is cool. This is a cool book because you get the new origin of Thrawn, but you also get the origin of Governor Price.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that they did a good job of doing that and showing you how their allegiance to each other works and why she called him in to deal with Lothal and to deal with the Rebels.
Yep.
And, his interactions with the Emperor are really well done. His interactions with Tarkin and, the very few. But just...
Well,
him explaining everything, and you're not sitting there going, I don't feel dumb.
Yeah.
It's like, you're telling me the obvious things that I missed.
Sure.
And it's like, yeah. And that's where Eli Vanto comes in, because he's us.
Yeah. He's our Kitty Pryde.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I do know that in Rebels.
Whose voice, like, did the guy do his voice
too?
Yeah,
it was still Mark.
So what
Mark
did he Thompson. Make him sound like?
Kind of like a hillbilly.
Okay. That's what I was. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You mean I'm going to have to fly a TIE fighter? It's kind of what he sounded like.
Yeah.
So one thing we know from Rebels is Thrawn has a conversation with Tarkin about Krennic.
Yeah.
Because it was in the preview that's in the second, going to be in the second half of this final season.
Which makes sense of why he knows about the Death Star.
Well, because he knows about the Death Star at that point.
Right.
You know, and the TIE Defender program and the Death Star program are competing for resources and, funding and all that stuff.
For sure.
So it'll be really, really interesting to see how that plays out. I'm excited to see Tarkin
That's what I'm wondering, if there'll be stuff with interactions with Krennic.
Yeah.
Because as much as he's not in Rogue One, I think that he can be a fascinating character.
Krennic?
Yeah.
I love Krennic.
Yeah,
I thought
he was a cool character in there, but I think it'll be interesting to see Zahn write Thrawn and Krennic in a room interacting.
Well, and we'll get Galen Erso when he's kind of all in on the Empire before he's, you know, soured on the idea of a planet killer. Like, it makes sense to include that in Thrawn's story.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I kind of feel like if you're going to do a third book, that it would have to be Thrawn in exile.
Yeah.
And just go from there.
So what's the darkness that he's talking about? The things that are, you know.
The Yuuzhan Vong.
You think that's what
it
is?
I think they'll use it. I think it's there. It is a property.
Yeah.
They bought it.
Yeah.
So why not use it?
It's a beloved villain.
Yeah,
from
I was going to say, make it a little bit
Star Wars fan.
Like not as Cenobite, you know, the Hellraiser Cenobite sounding, but still make it where they do the body.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. To me, I think that the Yuuzhan Vong, like, they tried to describe too much of what they were doing to themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just say that they do body bonifications.
Like the one things from Enterprise, at the beginning in the first season, the time traveling things.
Oh, the Suluban.
The Suluban. Thank you.
Yeah.
I couldn't think about
that. I was thinking of the Vidians from Voyager, the ones who had the disease that like they were trying to stay up with the disease. And I'm like,
but no,
the Suluban genetically changed themselves
and
but
all
I mean,
of
like,
that,
you don't have to have everybody cutting their skin open and putting stuff in. Some of them could just be tattooing themselves.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's like, but I feel like if they're going to continue with that story, that's what we'll get is, you know, the Yuuzhan Vong or something else.
I'm excited to see the comic version of this.
Yeah,
The comic adaptation. So it'll be 6 issues and
maybe it'll give a little bit more of the Anakin story. I mean, you know.
I think if they did less Arrenda Price in the comic and maybe
made
a
it the
little
Thrawn,
more of,
just a Thrawn story. Yeah.
I did feel like the Price stuff was maybe 2-3 chapters too long with her.
Her mom and dad thing, they could have left that out.
Almost entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the interactions with her friends and what happens there needed to be there to show what she is. Yeah.
I think it's, what she becomes. Because she
wasn't. I like that
Thrawn, what she ends
like,
up is
introduces
not where
her chapters. Like Thrawn introduces every chapter, but his chapters that he introduces her, it's like, you know, kind of a, you know, check this out. Watch what happens here and why this girl is my friend.
Meanwhile, back on Coruscant.
Yeah. I like her.
She's very devious.
Yep.
And Mark Thompson, man, he gets that hiss. You know, that snake-like hiss that I've always heard in Thrawn.
Yep.
So, all right. It's on, you can go get it on Audible. You can get the book, whatever.
Yeah, it's on everything.
It's well worth listening to. Check it out.
I think
Thrawn.
He's going
to
be at the, what did I see? Indiana Comic Con?
He's either at Indiana or Lexington.
Yeah.
I forget
something.
Which one.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, on that note, that wraps Infamous Podcast Book Corner.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Take a look.
Reading Rainbow.
It's in a book. We both went there at the same time.
Okay. Next week, LeVar Burton's going to be a guest.
Oh,
hey.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I would just call him Jordy the whole time.
Yeah. Kunta.
Toby.
Toby. Nice.
God, that scene is rough.
Oh, when they're beating it
out.
Did
you read
the
book?
No.
I read the book.
Yeah.
Like, probably younger than I should have because I didn't really understand what was going on. But yeah. All right. The Toys That Made Us.
Yeah.
It's a pretty appropriate title for us.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, we literally grew up in the heyday of Kenner in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Yeah. At one point, my grandma worked for Kenner before I was born.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember my mom telling me that she worked there for a while.
That's cool. All right. So season one.
And we know people who've worked there.
Lots of people. Yeah. So season one of The Toys That Made Us features Star Wars, Barbie, He-Man, and G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
If you would have changed any one of these four, which one would you have pulled out of this original series to maybe put for later on?
He-Man? Yeah. I would have put Transformers in this.
You really would have gone Transformers
I would have done
first.
Transformers if if you had to pick one out. Okay. I would have switched out Transformers and He-Man.
You wouldn't have like swapped out like Care Bears or like Strawberry Shortcake at the beginning? Do like two boy, two girl?
No. Well, no, not in the beginning, not in the first season. And that's okay. When we talk about the second right. season, that's where I'll go with that.
Well, I have thoughts on all four of them that they picked for the second season.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely get into it. But it starts with Star Wars.
Yeah, and, well, if you know, you're going to start with toys.
You have to.
I mean, in the modern era, excuse me, the modern era of toy collecting and toys, Star Wars is the grandfather at this point.
So what I found the coolest thing about this
yeah.
was the lawyer from Kenner who negotiated the deal.
Yeah.
This is literally the first time he's ever talked about it on camera.
Mm-hmm.
He's been approached many times for interviews statements and things like that. And this is the first time he's ever talked about it. And it was really, it was so interesting how the deal just happened.
Right.
You know, it was like, can you do this? We think we can do it. Okay, do it.
Well, and it's like when you literally are told by every big toy company, Mattel, Hasbro, you know, Mego at the yep. time was big. No. We're not. No, no. We've never even heard. What is this? No, Star we've never Wars. Heard. What is Star Wars?
I don't want to make a toy out and of a Kenner, talking bear.
You know, Kenner had been running around for 20, 30 years at that point, yeah. and they just were like, yeah, we think we can do it.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I love that reaction because it's a Cincinnati reaction, too. A lot of the guys at the interview, it's just like, yeah, we did that. I built a Millennium Falcon, and I've done every one since then. I love that guy because it's like, yeah, he still works for Hasbro. Yeah. And
I like,
you know,
the prototypes that they made using the other toys mm-hmm. and like the molding clay
oh, yeah.
and
yeah.
all of that stuff.
A lot of that, the thing with that, being a Star Wars fan and being a, you know, a Star Wars fan that I've right. read a lot about different stuff, I knew a lot of that. But listening to them tell the stories is fun because
right.
reading it's one thing. Hearing the guys who actually did it
right.
tell their stories.
Like why they chose 3 3/4.
Yeah.
Make it about that big where yeah. he holds his fingers up.
Yep.
But then that's how you make it to fit in the toys.
Yep.
Like how you make the ships. And the ships are what was important.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the figures are great. And we
oh,
all,
yeah, the figures that you're going to make your money on.
We have an appreciation for the figures now that we may not have had necessarily as kids. As a whole.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about you in general.
Yeah.
As a whole.
Well, I mean, if you look at my right. original 12, right. you know, it's, yeah.
yeah.
I had an appreciation for them as a kid to play the hell with
right.
them.
But the ships
and
were,
now it's like
the ships were the sought after
yeah,
things,
oh yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I never had a Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
I wanted a Millennium Falcon. The neighbors had a Millennium
of
Falcon.
Of the original but... Star Wars ships that I got as a kid
mm-hmm.
that I can remember, I had a Millennium Falcon. I had a X-Wing, a TIE Fighter, Slave One, and a Y-Wing.
I had a Y-Wing, an X-Wing, and the Sand Speeder.
And a B-Wing. I got the B-Wing,
yeah,
too.
I never had the
but
B-Wing.
But that was Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, when Star Wars came out, I remember getting the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only one I had.
Yeah, I had an X-Wing.
And then when Empire
the
came
I
out, I got an X-Wing that was white, because the blue one was starting to hit.
Right.
And then... I got the TIE Fighter that was white, and the blue one was starting to be the new one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the X-Wing I got was the Dagobah crash one, so
yep.
it had all the stickers that were
yep.
like the battle
dirty,
damage
yeah.
and that, and it was that gray color instead of the white one. Yeah.
And then with the Empire, I had the Dutch shoe-looking ship from Bespin.
Yeah.
So, which was cool.
Yeah, the twin pods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought they looked like Dutch cobbled shoes, like the wooden shoes,
yeah.
you know, kind
yeah.
of. Which I always,
which
I,
is
I
a
love.
Possibility that that's
yeah.
where that came from.
I love that little ship. I think it's so cool. But yeah, I didn't get a lot of the ships we had.
Yeah.
I mean, we had, it's a story used to be called Van Lunen's.
Yeah.
And we could walk there and they had all
you
of those. They just had, they had, you know, we were talking about the executioner.
Yeah.
Being a peg warmer right,
right.
now. Everything was a peg warmer back then.
Well, no. What back then, what the difference is that this stuff sold.
Well,
like,
yeah.
it literally sold, and, you know, they would put out the stuff that the kids wanted.
Right.
And they would order it.
Mm-hmm.
They would actually order stuff. Whereas nowadays, these stores don't really order stuff. Right. And when they do order it, they order the crap that sits there forever.
Yeah. Or yeah. in the case of our Target, they order it and the people never, it never makes it out to the front because of the workers. But it, I mean, and the other thing, if you think about the Star
and that's
Wars,
the other part that's changed too. Right. I mean, back then it wasn't, you know,
yeah, nobody cared.
People that worked at stores bought it for their kid because their kid wanted it, right. And they knew their kid wanted it. Now it's
but they only bought one.
Now we're
they
in the eBay generation. Eight. Yeah.
But the other thing is, you go to the store now, and the Star Wars section is maybe 10 feet of an aisle.
Yeah, that's another thing. It was
both sides of an aisle.
Both sides of an aisle
section.
And usually it was like 24 foot of action figures on pegs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of it's changed. I mean, you know, the way people buy stuff has changed. And, you know, technology and everything definitely has affected that.
I don't buy two of every character. You know?
Yeah.
But I do buy two of a lot.
It sounded like a Dosa Keys thing. Like, I don't buy two of every character, but when I do...
I don't always buy two of every character, but when I do, they're Grand Admiral Thrawn.
There you go.
So, I mean, honestly, like, this is the first run. I got two Heras, I got two Thrawns.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, I always get a bunch of troopers, but, you know, that's just what you have to do. And I got two Sabines and two Ahsokas.
Yeah.
And that's really the first time I've done that with the Black Series in a while. Well, and part of that is the price tag.
Yeah, the prices, you know? And all that stuff.
Because
used
to be $7.
Because it's a collector thing now, too. The card backs have the prices on them sometimes.
Yeah.
Then what... $2.97. Yeah. I mean, $2.97 is like, yeah, I'd be buying everything I could get my hands on.
I mean, that was my, you know, that was my allowance with tax.
You know, that's why I said I'd build a time machine, go back, buy all these figures, put them in a storage unit, make sure the bills are paid on it, and be a millionaire.
Well, the first thing you have to do is find a bunch of like 1980s money.
Yeah.
Because you can't use money from today because, you know, obviously they wouldn't take it.
It's called robbing banks in the past to benefit you in the future.
Oh, I see.
Time cops. Who needs them?
Time cops.
I
was just down in the Kroger building last two weeks ago and
Did you sneak up to the floor?
No, I thought about hitting 11.
You should have.
I was going up to 21,
yeah.
And I almost stopped at 11 on the way down, but I did not.
I don't understand why, you know, Hasbro has all this stuff. They have, like, a lot of archive stuff in that.
Yeah.
That they would not rent that floor out and turn it into a museum and make profit off of it.
Well, you've been down in that building.
Oh, I know that building.
It's really hard to get into.
Yeah.
I mean, the security there and the front desk
the security of every building in every downtown has changed since,
But it's just, it would be too much of a hassle. But I thought about that, too. I had that thought. It's like, why don't they have that? Like, why isn't everything in there bronzed for prosperity, But yeah,
why not have a C-3PO in there greeting you like, welcome to the Star Wars Museum.
Oh, I am C-3PO, human cyborg relations.
At this point, you don't need Anthony Daniels. You just have a robot.
Oh, it
works.
Daniels. He thinks he's the main character.
I thought R2 was the main character.
Well, he is. But when they talk about delusions of grandeur, like, that's literally Anthony Daniels.
He's an old man. Let him have his dreams.
He wasn't an old man when he was... Anyway.
Let him have his dreams. Stan Lee thinks he created the Marvel Universe, too, and he co-created it.
Co-created.
So, you know, let the old man have his dreams.
So, all right. Anyway, so the Star Wars stuff, I thought this was a great way to kick it off.
Yeah, it's one of those... I think it's one of those things where if you have friends that don't understand why you collect Star Wars toys,
sit
this is
down.
A good way.
Here's 40 minutes. You will understand me infinitely better.
I think honestly, if they don't understand you, girlfriend, friends, family members, just say, watch this episode and you will understand me. You still won't understand why I collect it, but you will understand me a little better. Yeah.
All right, so the second episode was Barbie.
Which made sense.
Which was fascinating.
Yeah.
Barbie episode was the best episode of the entire first season.
You never realized that that people could be that vicious.
The power plays
yeah.
that happened behind the scenes at Mattel for Barbie.
And I knew a little bit about this one, but I didn't know Barbie's origin was a Swiss pleasure doll.
Yeah.
I was like, huh? What?
It's just one CEO after another who is cattier and cattier and cattier.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys are awesome. That's why she's still around. Story. And man,
how much has Barbie changed in the 50 plus years at this point, I think, that she's been around? She hasn't changed much.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah. And still sells the hell out of them.
Well, it's because they've done what most brands fail to do, right? They understand who their core audience
is.
And they understand what their core product is.
Right.
And they stick with it. And then they iterate it.
Yeah.
They've had a few. I mean, we saw. You see in the documentary, there's a few like wholesale changes that have happened to Barbie over the years.
There's been some screw ups in that. But it's like now they have, and this is one where, because I know, you know, one of my friend's daughters loves Barbies, and I get her Barbies for Christmas. The smartest thing they've ever done is this group called the Fashionistas.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, tall ones and fat ones and skinny, like petite ones is what they call them. And, you know, all different races and, you know, and I'm like, that's probably the best thing that they've done that was off the normal track of Barbie.
Right.
Because not everybody looks like Barbie.
No.
So there are some people that actually genuinely look like a
Barbie type. The description of why Barbie looks like she does. It's not because this is some aspirational thing.
Right.
It's the only way they could get the clothes to look right on the doll. Yeah. And at the end of the day, isn't that what it's all about?
It's all about the Barbie clothes.
It's the accessories.
Yeah.
You know, it's the
scary
scientist
scary
Barbie
skin doll that sits behind the one CEO when she's being interviewed.
Oh my God. I don't know. Was that you who pointed that out, or was that Aaron who pointed that out?
I think Aaron and I both pointed it out at the same time. But what I'll tell you this. These are shows where you don't have to totally watch them. You could be doing something else. And I was sitting there. And
I totally missed that doll.
Elva was watching it. Like, she was intently watching them. And I was sitting on the computer doing something. And I looked up and I literally went, what the hell is that? And she goes, I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out for the last 10 minutes. And I'm like, that was on the screen already? And she goes, yeah.
It's a skin doll.
It's what it looks like.
It looked like a melted Barbie.
So that CEO collects high art.
People's skin.
Maybe. Yeah, she's
it
a skin.
It puts the lotion on
she's
the skin and it does not talk back again.
But she collects like high art, and that was a piece of art.
Yeah. Does she have a well that she throws lotion down to?
Yeah, a high art well. But yeah, I was like, that was the most frightening thing in any of these episodes.
Do you think I'm sexy?
And I wonder if they did it on purpose.
I don't know. But
can we put the skin doll behind
you? Hey, you know the skin doll?
Was that a
Barbie?
Here,
let's move you. Yeah, there. Perfect.
They didn't even tell her. They were just like, could you just scoot over that way just a little bit?
But again, it's fascinating what Mattel went through and how when we get into He-Man. He-Man. It'll be interesting, but,
even the thing with Jim,
where
the Barbie and the rock stars and all that.
So they found out about Jim somehow.
Somebody had quit, that company. And I forget who it was that put.
It wasn't Playmates, was it?
No. But, I want to say it was Hasbro.
I think it was.
Somebody had quit Hasbro and went to work for Mattel
and they told them
about it. And they pumped out a Barbie and the Rockstar
in
6
months.
Yeah.
Like they said, it wasn't from like.
Just change this costume.
It was 6 months from conception to in store. And they had said it normally took 18 months for that to happen.
They beat Jim by what, 2 months?
Yeah, fascinating. And the people at Hasbro had to be like, what just happened?
But then Jim wasn't not a success. I mean,
no,
you know, all the girls I remember wanted Jim, and Jim played with Barbie.
Yeah.
You know, Jim and Barbie were friends.
Jim was like the trashy.
I had a sister.
Jim was Barbie's trashy friend who might have stealing pills out of your parents' medicine cabinet.
You didn't really have like the Barbie and the rock stars didn't do what I think they thought it would do.
No.
And that, but
because
like,
it didn't have the accompanying cartoon.
Well, right. Yeah. And Jim was the music friend.
Yeah.
Like Barbie's music friend. is the way my sister had it. Well, you know, Jim was the taller friend of Barbie that played music.
Hey, we're here to watch Jim play today.
Yeah.
Come on, Skipper.
He-Man, are you coming?
So speaking of He-Man.
Well, my sister and I didn't have a lot of kids in our neighborhood, so we did a lot of crossover.
Yeah.
And Barbie and He-Man and all that type of stuff. And, you know, Star Wars figures were too short.
Yeah. They were the kids.
They played with My Little Ponies.
Yeah.
Yeah. They played well. Like, you could, in all general, and, you know, kids have good imaginations and that. So you could literally do that. You could play with Star Wars and 3 3/4 inch figures, because I had other 3 3/4 inch figures besides Star Wars. Played well with the My Little Pony stuff. And then, like, He-Man played well with Barbie. And it's like, that totally makes sense that Mattel would have made sure that you could do that if that was happening.
Yeah.
And then He-Man is the next one.
Yeah. So this one I found really interesting. I didn't realize the toys came first.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know where I missed that.
Yep. The toys were first.
Now, we've gone back and we've watched a lot of the He-Man and She-Ra.
Sure.
Over the years, as it's been
does
on
things
and off
make
of
more
Netflix.
Sense now?
It does.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. Now, I will say there's a lot of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe that is borderline unwatchable as a cartoon.
Oh, sure.
At this point.
Yeah.
I like the 2000 series better.
Well, right.
But I never had a lot of these.
We wouldn't have got J. Michael Straczynski, though.
True.
He wrote lot of episodes.
That and both He-Man and She-Ra.
Yeah.
Anyway, I loved He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had the big version of the sword with the two sides. You know, I had He-Man. Man-at-Arms is my favorite character from Masters of the Universe, which made the movie so bad for me that they ruined him.
Good journey.
Yeah.
We don't say goodbye. We say good journey. Like, what?
The thing that I found most fascinating was that it went from 1982 or from 1986, where they sold $400 million worth of toys, to 1987, where they only sold $7 million of toys.
That was pretty much
I think part of the reason
that was one of the last toys that I remember buying.
Yeah. And they blamed She-Ra, right? The He-Man guys
part of
blamed
it.
She-Ra. And I don't remember any girls in my neighborhood growing up wanting to be She-Ra or playing with She-Ra. I know a lot of the guys had the you know, their parents just bought them everything.
Yeah.
So, like, they had She-Ra and Swiftwind.
Because
and,
it was his sister.
Yeah, because it was all.
But she didn't look anything like the cartoon version.
Nothing like the cartoon.
And the thing was, is like, and we, you know, you learn from this, and I didn't know that She-Ra was an offshoot of the Barbie group wanting a female He-Man.
Right.
And but I was like, how difficult was it to make her look like the cartoon? That you made her look like a Barbie doll that was short and like He-Man size and dressed her up like Barbie. And then there was all the different versions of She-Ra. And it's like, but you still were making every single character into a doll.
Right.
I remember Glimmer.
Yeah.
And I remember a bunch of the other ones. And that my sister just wanted She-Ra and Swiftwind. I remember that. And she wanted Bo.
Yeah.
Because that was She-Ra's boyfriend. Yeah. So it's like Bo, and Bo didn't look like Bo from the cartoon.
No.
It was one of those things where it was like, I understand more now money-wise, but back then it was just like, why don't they look like the cartoon characters?
So as much as Barbie stuck to the guns of the brand and the character, He-Man went the other way and just oversaturated.
Oh,
they did way too many characters. They were
characters that were never on the cartoon.
They were making up toys. Yeah, they were just making up toys.
Yeah.
And then the names of some of them were just... It's
Fisto?
Like, I don't want...
Fisto?
Yeah. It's like, I don't want Skunktor or whatever his name
Stinkor.
Was. Stinkor.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have a smelly action figure.
And the smell still stays?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It lingers.
Mossman?
30 years later. Yeah. It's like, you know... And like, in the 2000 one...
Yeah.
They used a lot of those.
Well, sure.
You know, but I think the problem with He-Man...
Mattel's always had an issue with He-Man.
Yeah.
I think that they've always had an issue, and I think that's why Super 7 is taking over the He-Man license, even though it's Mattel, it's Super 7 doing it. Because even up till just a few years ago, when they were doing the Maddie Collector thing, they couldn't get it right. They had processing issues, shipping issues, quality issues, everything else. And it's like, you know, eventually you have to just let somebody else take care of the if you can't get it right. And I'm going to say that if you look at the new Adventures of He-Man, you know that Mattel's not getting it right at that point.
Right.
And then you have a fan come in and he's working for you and he can't get it right because he, you know, hires the cheapest people to do it.
Right.
Then you got to look outside of your company.
I think He-Man was really an identity crisis for Mattel because they identified so well with girls and girl toys.
Yep.
And you had a group of very talented, very creative men.
Oh, yeah.
Who said, hey, we have this idea.
They were more cattier than the women that worked on Barbie.
Dude, they were bitchy. They were straight up bitchy. It was, the one guy who was the workhorse who created every character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boom. Go watch it.
That's Roger Sweet. That's Roger Sweet. He actually wrote a book telling how he created He-Man. And I'm like, you helped create He-Man, sir.
Yeah.
You didn't create
He-Man. You were one of a team.
Yeah. If anybody created He-Man, his name would be Robert Howard, and it's called Conan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think what was happening with these guys is they were just fighting to stay relevant in a company that was just booming.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make their mark. And, you know, it got to the point where He-Man was like, okay, let's make a cartoon. Great, we'll do it.
And, well, the thing, you know, and the thing was, the cartoon was like literally right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to sell it to their bosses as this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. Mm-hmm. And none of it was happening. They were doing it like on the fly.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, and they just lucked out that Lou Scheimer was the one they found to do the He-Man cartoon. Yeah. I mean, Filmation had already been known to be like one of the best animation production companies during that time.
Super high quality.
And to get them to do He-Man, it was like you lucked into that. You lucked into that, and it sold your toys.
Yeah.
Because I could tell you those toys probably wouldn't have sold otherwise.
They weren't very good toys.
They worked for what they were.
The head, I always had a problem with
Don't put them in water.
I always had problems with the heads because the body was solid. And the head was super squishy. Yeah. And like the hair, the paint always came off the heads. I never liked that the He-Man figure, that his gauntlets were never painted.
Right.
They were always
Skin color.
Skin toned.
Yeah.
So I think,
and that was all of them. I mean, Skeletor had the same thing.
Same problem.
Yeah,
they just went on the cheap. I think the whole, you know, I think the whole reason He-Man is still relevant and the only reason He-Man is in this, or it's popular, is just nostalgia and the fact that they actually later on made really nice looking action figures.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, and it's funny because there's the mini identity, the mini origins of He-Man, where it's like, you know, the cartoon has one origin. The comic books that were with the action figures had a different origin.
Yeah.
You know, the comic books that were published by Marvel had a different. It's like literally He-Man is the parallel universe thing where it's like, you know, you could just come up with all these different versions of them. And I mean, there were cool figures, there were goofy figures. And it's just one of those things where it's like, if you're a fan of it, it's fun.
Yeah.
But it's like, as a fan who's been burned a few times, it's like, I just, you know, I enjoy my original figures, of course, because it's like, you know, they just look fun.
Yeah.
And that, but it wasn't like they needed to do this one, but I think that in a way they did because it's the animation phenomenon.
Right.
It was this one was more the animation phenomenon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The story of He-Man. The success and failure of He-Man is why it's in here.
Right.
Not because the toys were great.
Yeah. The vehicles and the castles were great.
Mm-hmm.
The action figures, not so great.
Right. Yeah. But you needed that. I don't know. Most of the time, I ended up playing the Star Wars characters in Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, that works.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
They wouldn't hit their heads on the door when they were trying to get in, at least. That was the problem with He-Man.
Yeah.
Because the way the door sat, he would hit his head when he was entering.
Yes, sir. Yep. All right. G.I. Joe, the real American Hero.
The longest. This one's the oldest.
Yeah.
Of all these toys, because G.I. Joe was around. It's been around for 60 years now. Sorry, I don't. I know toys, but I don't. Yeah.
So,
53 years at this point.
54, technically, but
not everything gets created in January of a year.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so this one
was really interesting because there was the guy who kind of concepted G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
And then they bought it from him for $100,000.
Yeah, you know?
But hey, you know, back then, $100,000 was a ton of money.
A lot of money, yeah.
So yeah, that's hard to say, hey, no, I'm going to take 1% of everything moving forward. Like, he didn't know it's going to become a super successful cartoon. He didn't know it's going to become
the same as the Star Wars one.
Fare.
George Lucas did not have any idea what was going to happen with his property and gave Kenner like all the money.
Yeah.
At first.
Yeah. And then fought.
And then
to get
episode
it back.
One. Yeah. Episode one was where Kenner got burned.
Yeah.
Badly to the point that they're now Hasbro.
Yeah.
But true. I mean, you know, that deal that they made with Lucasfilm, that burned them, you know, really bad.
Yeah. This one was really interesting, though. I enjoyed the origin.
This one's the most, like, delves the most into the historical things with this character and with these characters and with the characters who created
them.
Yeah.
Because they were definitely characters. Because,
I mean, you know, like I said, this is one of the oldest brands around, and it wasn't a doll, it was an action figure, you know. But I mean, it's funny, as a kid I remember my mom telling me stories of how my uncles had G.I. Joes, and I'm like, well, this, what, I have G.I. Joes and my friends have G.I. Joes, how did my uncles, who are old men, you know, being a kid even in their 30s, it's like, huh.
Here's what I remember most about G.I. Joes is they had great articulation, right?
Yeah.
You could move the knee joint and the elbow joints and the shoulder joints
the
and
joints.
The hips. And then they had that black rubber band inside of them.
Oh, yeah. The breakable black rubber band.
But the best part about that is if you had doubles, you could take that rubber band.
Well, and it was the same price point thing where it's like, you know, they were cheap. I mean,
but if you had one like where you broke it, that rubber band could do some damage against people's skin.
Oh yeah.
You know, you put it between your thumb and your pointer finger and you just walk
up. You had more G.I. Joes as a kid than I did.
I remember only having G.I. Joe.
One vehicle, three figures.
I had a lot of the figures. I didn't have the vehicles.
Yeah.
I always wanted the flag. And I was never, ever going to get the flag.
You know, and I mean, my parents didn't have a lot of money. So it was one of those things where, you know, you had a choice. What do you want? And it's like, well, I love Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then I liked He-Man. So those were the two toy lines that I got the most of. Like, I had Transformers. I had a lot of Transformers. But like G.I. Joe, I begged for stuff and never got it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was.
You know, I had a lot of the figures, you know, and again. They would play in Castle Grayskull, or
exactly.
They would play in the Star Wars sets.
Well, like I said,
they were the same size as the Star Wars figures.
That's
so.
One thing that I don't think toy companies think about is the interaction of these figures with other
now
toy lines.
Yeah,
especially now. I don't think they think about it at all.
Well, I'm looking at the Voltron figures versus the Black Series figures. Versus the Ninja Turtles,
right.
Versus the Marvel Legends, you know.
Well, and like,
we can't do any of those together.
We can even talk about it in the sense that there are no G.I. Joes on the shelf
right now.
The only G.I. Joes you're going to get is at a collector convention, and you know those are not official.
If
G.I.
you really
Joes.
Want G.I. Joes, you can go visit our friends at Roma
Collectibles. You can get original stuff from Roma anytime, but like they do really good. Exclusive figures in that. Roma's done a few exclusives for G.I. Joe Con and that. But Hasbro's gotten so greedy at this point that, like, even this year is the last G.I. Joe collectors convention. And it's one of those things where I'm like, you know, you don't look at what the hand that's feeding you. You're biting the hand that's feeding you.
Yeah.
No G.I. Joe's on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
It's your flagship character.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Hasbro's flagship character. Yeah. And I'm like, and you have these awesome Marvel Legends figures, these awesome Black Series figures, and you can't come up with either a 3 3/4 inch or a 6 inch G.I. Joe line.
Like a 6 inch, like,
oh, if they did
Hawk,
yeah,
Flint,
if they did like
Lady
Snake
J.
Eyes or yeah. Zartan, a 6 inch figures,
Cobra
I'd be
Commander,
buying them. Yeah,
like all the different versions,
yeah,
with the hood and the
yeah,
mask, Destro,
yeah,
a 6 inch Destro. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
And
well,
like,
he'd be 7 inches, but he's taller than everybody else.
Anyway, but yeah.
But it's, yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, as much as they like talked about how this shaped the Hasbro company and all that, they don't care about it.
No. Well, they have the rights to Star
Wars. They
have
now. Star Wars,
yeah.
So they don't care about they don't care about their character. They care about the
I mean, the G.I. Joe
got.
Font and the Hasbro font is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
That's how closely tied it is to the brand.
Right.
As I get marketing nerd on you.
Right. Well, it all affects each other,
yeah,
though.
I will say this was a fascinating one, from the behind the scenes to the creation to who gets
yeah,
credit to, you know, when they shut it down. It was just really
the comic
really
books and
yeah,
how the comic books affected the action figures, and how the cartoon affected,
yeah,
you know, the story and everything. And
one, I love the how they couldn't have people killing each other.
Well,
so
right,
yeah, just make them all bad shots.
Yeah.
And it's like
everybody's
misses.
A stormtrooper.
Yeah.
We can
you've
hit the vehicles, but they all parachute.
You've heard the theory about the stormtroopers, why they miss, is because the force.
Oh yeah, you told me that.
Yeah,
the
I find that
the living force is helping them.
Yeah, it because it's trying to keep some semblance
right,
of balance, because
right,
otherwise it would be overwhelming.
Right.
I find that interesting.
Nonsense.
But, well, yeah, it's. Yeah. Anyway, the.
So these are like very watchable. Like, and I
this
think I want to go back and watch them again, just because, but
I'm going to wait until the next batch comes out
and watch
them
all
and then
once,
watch
yeah,
again. So the second,
but
season,
if you were going to watch like the first season, if there was one like right now where I said, just go watch one, which one would you want to watch over? Or which one could you watch over and over again?
I could watch the Barbie one over and over again, just
yeah,
because it's so, one, it's so interesting. Two, it's really empowering.
Yeah.
Because it's always female CEOs.
Right.
And just the way,
but even on a marketing
yeah,
point of view, like you, because you're in the marketing a lot,
from
the Barbie
from
one is very educational in a marketing
it
sense
is,
too.
I think the He-Man one is interesting because of the cattiness.
Yeah.
I don't need to watch the Star Wars one again. Like, if I never saw the Star Wars one again, it wouldn't bother
yeah,
me.
It,
just because
we grew up
in
Kenner Country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The G.I. Joe one I wanted more from. There's something
more, but
I didn't. There's something I didn't get, and I can't put my finger on.
Right.
But
G.I. Joe could have been a two-parter, or
maybe
longer.
It could have been like 15 minutes longer,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I would probably say the Barbie one,
the Barbie
is the one
would,
that's the most rewatchable, which I think is funny.
And I think
me,
the G.I. Joe one would be the one that I would watch
yeah,
over again, like right away.
Honestly, I
just, because I know so much of the Star Wars stuff, and I know
yeah,
so much of the He-Man stuff, that
right,
it's, and it's G.I. Joe, like. There's a fascination with
I
that
question
now.
He-Man being in the first season.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, I thought maybe Care Bears or Strawberry
you
Shortcake.
You think it
should have
been like girl,
been
girl, two girls, two boys.
Even, like, and it didn't have to be, but
right,
I just think, I think there were more influential toys than He-Man.
Well, let's move on to right, the second season.
So the
then,
second season, I don't agree with any of these picks.
I agree with one.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. So season two is Lego, Transformers, Hello Kitty, and Star Trek.
I totally was like, why Star Trek?
Why Lego?
Lego makes sense because Lego is a hot thing.
It's hot right now.
But Lego,
like,
has their own documentaries.
Yes. And,
yeah,
and the history of Lego has been so up and
yeah,
down. Like, it's on a downward trajectory right now.
Right.
Because they oversaturated.
Right.
And this is the story of Lego. And this is what
it's
the hour
the
is going to be.
Lego.
It's going to be like, oh, we've hit something. We're going to put way more out there
right,
than we need to. So the
Transformers makes sense just because of what it is. But it's just like Transformers and G.I. Joe could have been a 2 hour
yeah,
episode, because
they're two
they
sides
mesh,
of the same coin.
They mesh so much. Yeah. That it's like, I'm like, Hello Kitty. Why?
Again, Care Bears or Strawberry Shortcake
yeah,
should be in there before
right,
Hello Kitty. And Hello Kitty is definitely a worldwide
I don't think
phenomenon,
of Hello Kitty as a toy.
It's a brand of clothes.
A brand of,
like,
like silverware and toys are not part of that.
I guess the kid she's had
maybe there's Hello Kitty in
she's
Japan.
Had a couple like Hello Kitty like stuffed things,
and maybe that's what it is, because yeah. Netflix is all over the world, that you know they had to go a little bit more international. Yeah. Star Trek, what the hell? They've had so many failed toy lines. The only thing that they're going to talk about that's positive with the Star Trek toys is
that they keep trying.
Art Asylum. No, Art Asylum was the only good Star Trek toys that were ever made. And that's what it'll be. It'll be the joke.
Yeah.
The joke of, ha ha, every bad movie has a good action or has an action figure line, where every good movie doesn't have an action figure line.
Yeah.
That literally is like something they already have put out there.
Like,
on their Facebook page,
I would put Thundercats in there before.
Well, yeah, before Thundercats would have made more sense.
I would put Mask in there before.
My thing, it should have been 2 girl and 2 boy episodes.
Sure.
And this is just because talking to, you know, friends' wives that watched the first season and enjoyed the Barbie episode, the thing they said is, the only way you're going to get me to watch another one is if you do Care Bears.
Yeah.
If you do My Little Pony, if you do any of those type of things, guess what? You're not going to have a lot of female viewership on this one.
I mean, I don't care. Like, as much as
I will watch these all.
I'm going to watch them and we'll talk about them because
it's what we do. But I'm just like, man, I'm like,
I just feel like they missed the boat. Like, if you want to talk about a failed toy line instead of Star Trek, throw in Silverhawks. It's a cartoon that got canceled after 3 months.
Right.
It had maybe 12
had two seasons.
Toys. Yeah, but it got 60
something episodes.
It was. But they stopped making them. They made them all. And we're not making it anymore. But the toys were interesting.
Right.
They were a different kind of toy. Where are the Super Friends toys?
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, there's so many different things that they could have done.
Oh, you mean Superpowers?
Superpowers, thank
you.
Well,
see, they're just going to have to do a Kenner episode.
Yeah.
And just do, like, talk about Superpowers, talk about Care Bears, talk about Strawberry Shortcake, because those all came out of Kenner.
My Little Pony.
Yeah.
My Little Pony was huge in the 80s.
The one that made
My Little Pony is bigger now.
The thing that didn't make sense to me on this one, and it's because they mentioned it in the Star Wars episode, why didn't they think about doing Mego?
Yeah.
I mean, Mego is a very popular toy line still that's not even in production.
Right.
I mean, people make figures that look like Mego figures.
Right.
And it's like, why didn't you choose that one?
Yeah,
I don't know. Shouldn't have been in the first season. That should have been in the second season. You should have left Lego out.
Yeah.
You should have left Star Trek out. And you should have done Care Bears, My Little Pony. You should have done Transformers.
I mean, you could throw Rainbow Bright in there.
Yeah. They could have just done a general girls toy episode. And if there wasn't a lot to tell about
do the Easy Bake Oven.
Yeah.
That could be an episode by itself because that's a toy that made everybody.
Yeah.
And that was, you better believe that was a toy.
Right.
You know, you could do the Easy Bake Oven and the Snoopy Snow Cone Machine.
Yeah.
And that's an episode by itself right there. That's more interesting than Lego, Transformers, Hello Kitty, or Star Trek.
Right. The only one I'm really like curious to see is the Transformers one, because I'm sure that there'll be a lot of the Takara stuff.
Yeah.
And I want to see that because I don't know a lot of that side of that story.
Right.
And I want to see, you know, that side of that story.
I mean, Transformers,
Star Trek, like I said,
but
why?
Star Trek does not need to be a part of this. They never need to do it.
They
Star
have
Trek,
never
toys
had
never made
a successful toy line except for the Playmates.
Yeah.
The Playmates, and then they oversaturated.
I had the Will Riker.
Yeah.
And the Geordi next
gen
ones.
Well, you remember the Earth. The Earth was a toy store here in Cincinnati, right near Queen City Comics. There was an entire wall.
Right.
And then behind that wall in the storage area was an entire wall of the Playmates Star Trek figures.
Right.
And I mean, some of them were cool. Most of them were not.
I had that Playmates Diecast Enterprise D that the saucer section came off of that
didn't
really sit right. You had to put a piece of tape on it.
Yeah, they didn't
keep
even
it there.
Put a stand in it.
Yeah. You know,
or no, that was Gloob, I think. I think Gloob made
that.
Okay,
well, whatever. Yeah. It was.
Well, that's,
it looked
that's
awesome,
the other thing.
But it was crap.
That's the only thing they're going to talk about in the Star Trek episode, is how many different companies have done Star Trek toys.
Yeah.
And it's still happening to this day.
Yeah, I know. So,
I don't even know who has the rights to that, like who has the main rights to that. And I asked one of my friends who works at Hasbro, and because I thought it was Hasbro, and he goes, I don't think they do, but that would be kind of cool if they did.
It would be.
Because they could. It's the same thing. The Black Series figures are the way that Hasbro should be doing those lines that are not popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do it as a collector's club thing even. But I mean, if they did like, you know, Star Wars Black Series, if they did a G.I. Joe Red, White, and Blue series.
Yeah.
I'd buy them.
G.I. Joe's Heroes. G.I. Joe Heroes. Yeah. Something like that.
I think it should be a color a color scheme thing. Yeah.
Or do a series, G.I. Joe Red, and they do another one that's G.I. Joe Blue, another one that's white. But yeah, it's just...
I'm really curious why...
Well, and these are already filmed. They already did them.
Right. I would just like to, you know why these were the ones that were picked.
Yeah. So, Brian Volkweiss, what the hell? What?
We're going to get a message from him.
Freaking hell. Yeah, I mean, seriously, what the hell?
And they interviewed Michael Bay for the Transformers one. And I'm like, why? Did they ask why he ruined it?
Those toys, some of them looked really great.
Yeah, I've bought a few of them.
I have Jazz, both versions of the Jazz. I hate the Pontiac Solstice, though. I think it's the stupidest car.
Yeah.
I have Ironhide, because that was a great one with the truck, because they turned him into the
the
big pickup.
Ford.
And then I had...
was it an F-150?
Is it Blackout, the helicopter?
Blackout was the helicopter.
So those were the only ones I bought from the new... From the movies.
Yeah.
And they are so overly complicated to take apart, to transform. It's like, are you
kidding
me? That's
going to be a whole sequence of that episode, is somebody's going to be taking apart and putting together a transformer.
Like, I almost threw Ironhide against the wall at one point.
That's because you're not 4 years old.
But I tried to let a four-year-old do it, and she couldn't do it either.
Well, that's because she's a she.
Oh.
Did you like that one?
I disagree with that fully, my friend.
I had to go there.
She knows how to treat toys.
Yeah?
So, anyway.
Break their arms off and throw them across a room.
But, you know, I mean, even the new Voltron toys aren't great.
Yeah,
I mean they look great. The
new Voltron toys are supposed to be displayed, not played with.
No, not at all. Because the Green Lion, the little joint there where it's supposed to be the elbow when it turns up, like when he turns on.
Oh, okay. Like,
it is not a sturdy joint. So
they're meant to be displayed.
Well, they prominently are.
Playmates does a decent job with what they do, but man, get your figures out.
Yeah.
And maybe let people know that you're putting out a new version of the Voltron.
That kind of snuck up on
us. So we can save some money?
Yeah, Voltron could be in season two before any of these four. But, yeah.
Yeah, because there's three different versions of Voltron that were made over the years. Yeah. And what was that? Matchbox.
Yeah.
Matchbox was the one that was doing those back in the day.
You had those awesome lions. And then you had the awesome lions again.
Huh? What? What about those vehicles? What about those three robots that formed into one robot?
That was kind of cool. So anyway. All right. On that note.
Welcome to the Toy Nerd episode.
Yeah, the Toy Nerd episode. All right, guys. So yeah, The Toys That Made Us. It's on Netflix.
The Toys That Made Us.
Check us out. Check it out.
The goofiest. It's like the goofiest beginning ever.
So
but
great.
I'm like, it's so 80s.
It is so awesome.
It was so 80s that I was like, yeah, this is 80s. And then I was like, skip intro.
I think it was really... Oh, you only have to watch the intro once. It was really well done.
Yeah.
And like, I will say, it was really, really well done. And, you know, even though I don't agree with any of the four toys that they have for the second season,
yeah,
I imagine it's still going to be the same quality of documentary film.
Right, yeah.
So I will be... watching.
If anything, if you enjoy documentaries, these are really well done documentaries. Yeah. Even if you're just into documentaries, like these are good documentaries.
Yep.
So I've watched a lot of documentaries. So.
Yo, Tambien. All right. On that note, we will see you guys next week. Johnny's going to watch The Runaways.
I'm going to try to.
Johnny's going to watch The Runaways.
I'm going to try to.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Check. Or check not. I ain't getting paid for this.
Anywho.
That's my new tagline. I ain't getting paid for this. I ain't quitting this year. I'm just going to be like, I ain't getting paid for this.
All right. Well, you know, if they would go buy some Comixology comic books, you would.
What? I'd get a check?
Well, I mean,
like
I'd
personalized
give you
to Johnny.
Yeah, I would Potter? Write you a check that says Johnny Potter.
$5.
For male enhancement pills.
Ooh, hey. Wow.
Anyway. All right, guys, on that note, thank you for listening. We will be back next week.
Go do the thing, Comixology. Look at everything on our page. Patreon still on there somewhere.
5-star reviews.
5-star reviews.
All right, later.
Thank you.
The Infus Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.